All right, let's talk about that sinking feeling. You know, when you're clicking along online, maybe about to buy something, and bam, a website error pops up. Talk about a mood killer.
It is. It's like the digital equivalent of a door slamming in your face.
Right.
But what if I told you these error codes aren't just random roadblocks?
Okay.
They're actually clues.
Ooh.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into the language of website errors.
Okay.
Two excerpts worth, in fact,
Wow.
to help you not just understand them, but actually use them to your advantage.
So instead of hitting that back button in frustration,
Right.
we're going to decode these messages like digital detectives.
Exactly.
Where do we even start?
The first thing to realize is these codes aren't random. They're categorized, and that first digit is key.
Okay.
It tells you at a glance where the problem might be. A four at the beginning, for example, points to an issue on your end,
Okay.
the client side, as they call it.
Ah, so that's when I might be at fault.
Yeah.
Like I mistyped something or my internet's being wonky.
Exactly. But the five foot at the start, that's server side. It's the website itself having a hiccup, likely nothing you did.
Okay, so that's helpful already.
Yeah.
But let's get specific. What about the one we've all seen a million times, the infamous 404?
Page not found, the classic.
Yeah.
It's so common that even non-tech folks know it.
Right.
But there's more to it than meets the eye.
Because I'll admit, when I see a 404, I just assume the website's messed up.
It's not always so simple.
Yeah.
Yes, it could mean a broken link, which is bad for the site owner's SEO, by the way,
Oh, right.
but it can also be totally innocent. You might have mistyped the URL, or the page genuinely was moved or deleted.
So before I judge a website too harshly, I should double check my typing skills.
Got it.
Good advice. But you mentioned SEO. How big of a deal are these 404s for website owners?
Bigger than you might think. Search engines don't like dead ends. Too many 404s, and Google might think your site is outdated or poorly maintained.
So it's not just annoying for the user, it actually hurts their search ranking.
Exactly, which is why savvy website owners pay attention to 404s. They might redirect that broken link to a similar page, or at least create a custom 404 page that's helpful,
Yeah.
maybe even fun.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Some are really clever, turning a mistake into a brand moment.
It's a way to turn a negative into a positive. But there's a related error that's even more definitive, the 410.
The 410, didn't see that one in our sources.
It's in there, but it's subtle. 44 means not found, but 410 means gone forever. This
Oh.
tells search engines to stop even trying to find that page.
Interesting. So it's like sending a stronger signal instead of leaving things in limbo.
Exactly. It's good housekeeping for your website, especially if you've intentionally removed content and don't want it cluttering up search results anymore.
Okay, 404 annoyance that can be salvaged to 410 more final, like a digital tombstone.
I like that.
What about the one that makes me think the website has straight up broken the 500 error?
Ah, yes, the dreaded internal server error.
Done to that.
This one is less about you and more about what's happening behind the scenes on their end.
So, like, their server's having a meltdown. I always picture hamsters running on wheels suddenly stopping.
That's a fun image. But it often boils down to things like overloaded servers, database issues, or even just a code glitch.
So, what can you do besides frantically refreshing the page and hoping for the best?
Honestly, sometimes that does work.
Really?
It's like giving the server a little nudge. Clearing
'Cause...
your browser cache and cookies can help too.
Okay.
If it's persistent, though, it's probably best to just wait it out or contact the website owner if it's important.
That makes sense. But it's good to know there's often a difference between a temporary server hiccup and something catastrophic. Now, what about a code that feels less like a mistake and more like being rejected? The 403.
Forbidden is the official wording, and it's all about access control. You're trying to get somewhere you're not allowed.
Like trying to sneak into a VIP area without the right wristband?
Exactly. It's often about protecting sensitive information. Our source material mentioned cPanel and Index Manager in this context.
Yeah, what's that all about? Sounds technical.
Think of cPanel like a website's control panel, and the Index Manager tool is how owners decide which directories are visible to the public.
Okay.
They can lock down folders containing sensitive data, and if you try to peek, and bam, 403.
So it's like having a digital bouncer, making sure only the right people get through the velvet rope.
You got it.
Speaking of going places, what about redirect errors? I feel like I always get thrown off course with those.
Redirects are essential, but they can be confusing.
Yeah.
Think of them as road signs, some permanent,
Yeah.
some temporary sign. The 301 redirect, for example, is like a road closed, new route this way sign.
So it's like when a store moves locations and they put a sign up pointing you to the new address.
Precisely. The original page is gone, replaced by a new one. and the 301 makes sure everyone gets to the right place.
Okay.
Then there's the 302, the temporary detour.
Okay, so that's for when the page is out of commission for a bit like road construction.
Perfect analogy. Maybe the site's under maintenance or a page is being updated. The 302 tells you, come back later, we're working on it.
And in the meantime, you might get redirected to a temporary landing page or something similar.
Right.
Our sources also mentioned that simply renaming a page creates a 301 redirect automatically.
That's right. It's a handy feature of most content management systems.
Mm-hmm.
You rename a page, and the system automatically tells everyone, hey, this page moved, here's the new address.
That's smart. It prevents a ton of broken links and frustrated visitors. So there's strategy involved even in the simplest of website updates.
Absolutely. And these redirects, though, sometimes confusing, are ultimately there to help you get where you need to go.
Okay, so we've tackled the big ones, the 404, 500, 403, and the redirects. Our sources mentioned a few others that are worth touching on, right?
Absolutely. We've got time for a quick roundup of some less common but equally intriguing errors, shall we?
Let's do it.
Right.
What else is lurking in the world of website error codes?
Let's find out. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of website errors.
Mm-hmm.
We've already covered some of the most common culprits, but our sources have a few more tricks up their sleeves, or rather error codes up their servers.
All right, hit me with them. What other digital mysteries await?
Let's start with a familiar feeling. You're waiting for a page to load and waiting and waiting. Then you get the 503 service unavailable error.
Yeah.
Ever been there?
Oh, absolutely. It's like the online equivalent of showing up to a restaurant only to find out they're closed for a private event.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
This one usually signals that the website is temporarily down for maintenance or overwhelmed with traffic. Like a sudden rush at that restaurant, the kitchen just can't handle all the orders at once.
So it's not necessarily a permanent issue.
Exactly. It's usually a temporary hiccup, and trying again later often does the trick.
Good to know. Patience is a virtue, even in the digital world. Speaking of waiting, what about that frustrating 408 request timeout error?
This one's a bit more nuanced. It means the server is waiting for a response from your browser, but it's taking too long. Imagine you're playing a game of digital tennis, and you've served the ball, but your opponent just isn't hitting it back.
So the server's saying, are you still there? I'm getting bored over here.
Exactly. It could be due to a slow internet connection on your end, a problem with the server itself, or even a firewall getting in the way.
So it's not always clear who's at fault.
Right. It's a communication breakdown, and figuring out the root cause can take some digging.
Okay, now for an error that sounds almost philosophical, file contains no data. What does that even mean?
This one could be a head scratcher. You load a page expecting content, but all you get is a blank screen. It's like opening a treasure chest, only to find it empty.
Disappointing to say the least. What causes this digital void?
It could be a formatting issue, corrupted files, or even a server configuration problem. It's basically saying that the requested file exists, but it's empty or unreadable.
So it's like the file's there, but it's lost its voice.
Exactly. And just like with any communication breakdown, figuring out why can be tricky.
You know, as we're going through all these different errors, it strikes me that website owners have a lot to think about.
They absolutely do. Managing a website isn't just about creating content and making it look pretty. It's about ensuring a smooth user experience. And that includes handling errors gracefully.
Speaking of which, our sources went beyond just defining these errors and delved into some strategies for dealing with them, especially for website owners. Redirects seem to be a key tool in their arsenal.
They are indeed. Redirects are like the traffic cops of the internet, guiding visitors to the right destination, even when roadblocks pop up.
Our sources laid out some interesting scenarios for using redirects, especially when it comes to deleting pages.
Yes, and one key factor is whether the page is indexed by Google. If a page is indexed, it means Google knows about it and includes it in search results. Deleting an indexed page without taking precautions can lead to broken links and a drop in your search ranking.
So it's like suddenly closing a popular store without telling anyone. People will show up expecting to find it only to be met with an empty lot.
Exactly. And that's not a good look for any business online or offline.
So what's the solution? How do you delete a page without upsetting Google and your visitors?
One option is to rename the page and edit its content to make it more relevant to your current goals. Remember we talked about how renaming a page automatically creates a 301 redirect?
Right, that handy road close new route this way sign.
Precisely. By renaming and redirecting, you preserve the page's SEO value while updating its content. It's a win-win.
But what if you have a page that's ranking well in search results and you absolutely have to delete it?
That's where careful redirection comes in. You want to redirect visitors to a similar page that covers the same topic or provides valuable related information.
So instead of just hitting a dead end, they get pointed in a direction that's still helpful and relevant to their search.
Exactly. It's all about making the user's journey as smooth as possible, even when things are changing behind the scenes.
Our sources also highlighted the importance of checking for external links before deleting a page.
That's crucial. External links are like referrals from other websites, and they can be a valuable source of traffic. If you delete a page with external links pointing to it, those links will break and you'll lose those referrals.
So it's like cutting off a valuable referral network without even realizing it.
Exactly. Before deleting a page, it's essential to check for external links using tools like Google Analytics or dedicated backlink checkers.
So a bit of detective work is involved, but it's worth the effort to maintain those valuable connections.
Absolutely. And speaking of connections, let's talk about temporary redirects, those 302s we mentioned earlier.
Right, the detour signs. When would you use those strategically?
Let's say you're redesigning a page or performing site maintenance. You don't want to delete the page permanently, but you need to take it offline temporarily. A302 redirect is the perfect solution.
So it's like putting up a sign that says, "We're closed for renovations, but we'll be back soon."
Precisely. The 302 redirect tells Google and your visitors that this is a temporary situation and the page will be back in its original form eventually.
So Google doesn't penalize the page for being temporarily unavailable.
Exactly. Once the redesign or maintenance is complete, you simply remove the 302 redirect and the original page takes its place again, hopefully looking better than ever.
It's amazing how much thought goes into managing these redirects. It's like a whole choreography happening behind the scenes to keep the website running smoothly.
It really is. And website owners have to be mindful of not just the technical aspects, but also the user experience.
Because a website riddled with broken links and confusing redirects is going to frustrate visitors and send them running to the competition.
Exactly. It's all about creating a seamless and enjoyable experience, even when things are changing behind the scenes.
You know, as we're talking about all this, it occurs to me that these error codes and redirects aren't just technical details. They actually have a big impact on user experience.
That's a really insightful observation. You're absolutely right. A well-managed website that handles errors gracefully and uses redirects strategically creates a much more positive experience for visitors.
It's like the difference between a well-paved road and one riddled with potholes.
Perfect analogy. On a smooth road, you barely even notice the journey. But on a bumpy road, you're constantly jarred and distracted.
So website owners take note. Those error codes and redirects might seem like small things, but they can make or break your visitor's experience.
Couldn't agree more. It's all about paying attention to the details and making sure every aspect of your website works together seamlessly.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've demystified those error codes, explored the power of redirects, and even learned how to turn a 404 into a branding opportunity.
We have indeed. It's been a fascinating deep dive into the inner workings of the web.
You know, it's funny. We started out talking about those frustrating error messages, but I'm actually starting to appreciate them. They're like little windows into the complexity of the internet.
That's a great perspective. Instead of seeing them as roadblocks, we can view them as opportunities to learn and understand how things work.
But before we get too philosophical, there's one more aspect of this topic that I think deserves some attention. Our sources touched on the idea that how a company handles errors can actually reveal something about their culture and values.
That's a fascinating thought. Shall we explore that in more detail?
Absolutely. Let's wrap up this part of our deep dive and come back for the final installment where we'll delve into the deeper meaning behind those digital mishaps. All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into website error codes.
Yes.
I'm really intrigued by this idea we touched on earlier that how a company handles errors.
Yeah.
Even something as seemingly simple as a 404 page can reveal something deeper about their culture.
It's a fascinating concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think about it this way. In the offline world, if you walk into a store and can't find what you're looking for, how the staff responds says a lot about their customer service philosophy.
Uh-huh.
The same principle applies online.
So a generic page not found message might signal they haven't put much thought into user experience.
It could.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're a small operation with limited resources.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, a company that invests in a helpful,
right,
maybe even humorous 404 page is sending a message.
Like, we care enough to make even this mistake a pleasant experience.
Exactly. They're acknowledging that errors happen, owning it, and trying to turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes about their values.
Yeah. I'm recalling some really creative 404 pages I've seen. One company turned theirs into a mini game. Another had a funny video that played.
Oh, yeah.
Those definitely left a good impression.
They stick with you, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's smart branding. It shows they're not afraid to have a little fun, even when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Transparency and a human touch go a long way in building trust.
This makes me think, does this idea extend beyond just websites? If a company is transparent about errors in general, is that a good sign?
I'd say so. Think about those public apologies companies issue when they mess up. The ones that feel genuine, that outline what went wrong and how they're fixing it, those resonate.
It's the difference between a PR stunt and actual accountability, right?
Precisely. And in today's world where information travels at lightning speed, trying to sweep mistakes under the rug is rarely effective.
So being upfront about errors, even if it's embarrassing, ultimately builds more trust in the long run.
I believe so. It shows a willingness to learn and improve, which customers appreciate. It's human nature to make mistakes, and admitting them rather than hiding them makes a company more relatable.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners, both website owners and everyday internet users?
I'd say it's this: pay attention to how companies handle errors. It can be a subtle but powerful indicator of their values and their commitment to customer experience.
For website owners, it sounds like those error pages are a chance to shine, not something to be ignored.
Absolutely. Don't just throw up a generic message. Use it as an opportunity to connect with your audience, show a little personality, and even guide them to something helpful.
And for the rest of us, when we encounter those digital hiccups, maybe we can view them with a little more understanding.
Exactly. Instead of getting frustrated, maybe even take a moment to appreciate the effort or lack thereof behind that error message. You might be surprised what you learn.
Well, I think we've successfully navigated the often confusing world of website error codes,
I agree.
from the technical details to the deeper cultural implications.
Indeed.
We've learned to decode those messages, understand their impact, and even appreciate their potential.
We have.
And hopefully our listeners now see those error codes not as dead ends, but as opportunities for learning improvement and maybe even a chuckle or two. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, may your internet adventures be smooth sailing, and may those occasional error codes be a source of insight rather than frustration.